Howdy, howdy!
Bonjour.
And welcome to But It Was Aliens, the paranormal comedy podcast where we probe pirates, poltergeists and other supernatural shenanigans to determine for the questionable benefit of humanity whether the events covered really were paranormal. Woo! I'm your host this week and my name is Kev. Alongside me, taking their turn to co-host this week with no idea what's coming up, is Mr. Granville, Lucius, Harry Potter, Moonwalker. Now, today, we are venturing out to sea.
Grr. Now, you've called me Lucius.
Yes?
All I'm trying to think in my head now is Morgan Freeman voice from Batman, and I can't. It's killing me.
So you're just going to miss the...
It's not even Lucius, is it?
Malfoy Lucian. Reference. I'm just letting you go off on your tangent. It's fine. Oh, wait.
Didn't even know his name was Lucius.
His dad.
Who? Malfoy's or...
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's your favourite character.
It's really not.
We begin our probe today
out at sea.
In the middle of the sea.
Whoa.
We've wowed.
Have you got the coordinates?
No, because
how
we're in
know
the middle.
It's the middle?
Because on a map, I've got
coordinates.
I just put a pin in it.
You're just like, middle.
Yeah. And that's where this happened.
Okay. So the middle that might not be the middle, but could be the middle of the
From
sea.
The 2 points that I determined. It's the middle.
So the middle of the sea between the 2 points.
Yes. We begin our probe in the middle of the sea. Isolated.
Lonely.
Lonely. It was 2 a.m.
I didn't even know you'd read it.
It was 2 a.m. on the 28th of March, 1697.
Great day.
Captain, now I swear this name is just a coincidence and it isn't at all based on anyone we know. Captain Granville Woonwalker was commanding the HMS St. George, a 90-gun, second-rate Royal Navy ship of the line, formerly known as the 96-gun, first-rate HMS Charles II. It was 2 a.m., the morning, as I said, and the waters off the coast of South Africa were isolated.
Lonely.
Lonely, but choppy. It was a stormy 2 a.m. morning. Lonely. Isolated. Choppy. Woonwalker, a veteran...
Really hard to say, isn't it?
...and somewhat haggard seaman, was on the deck with only his trusty and hot companion, Kevin the Whitebeard, still awake, on lookout in the masts. Now, it turns out that Kevin was actually a more senior and skilled man of the sea than Woonwalker, but Kevin was all for developing others and so was giving Woonwalker an opportunity, but we won't dwell on these facts. In the distance, Kevin saw something. Kevin called out to Woonwalker, to warn Woonwalker, and to warn the crew. Woonwalker rang the bells and woke the crew. Meanwhile, Kevin knew what he had seen, so did the smart thing and took the only lifeboat and sailed off towards the shore.
Pussied out.
Woonwalker prepared for contact with the mysterious boat that was now approaching. The boat floated steadily towards the HMS St. George and eventually came within 2 cables' length of Woonwalker's ship. This was close enough, in fact, that planks or rigging would allow boarding to take place. A man appeared upon the deck of the mysterious ship. This seaman was weathered, almost as if beaten for decades, not unlike Woonwalker, and the seaman was holding something out. Woonwalker sent one of his crew in for a closer look. The weathered seaman reached out his hand to Woonwalker's crewmate, Franco, because obviously Woonwalker wasn't brave enough to make contact himself, and the seaman passed what appeared to be a letter to Franco. Franco drew back in surprise as he unfolded the letter. It was addressed to a lady, but Franco didn't recognise the address. The man then said, in a croaky, weak voice,
"Captain wants this delivered to his friend in Europe. We've tried many, but most ships refuse."
Franco, curious now, asked why they can't take their own letters. The seaman turned around, and as he walked away, the seaman faded. Franco looked around and saw that the whole ship began fading as it moved away into the mist of the sea. Woonwalker quite literally soiled his pants. The St. George continued its journey, and when they reached the shore, word spread as to what the crew had witnessed. Woonwalker looked up the address on the letter passed to Franco and discovered that the town had been sacked in the early 1600s and no longer existed. Woonwalker, meanwhile, sank in shallow waters on his very next voyage. That mysterious ship seen has become synonymous with impending doom. This ship is the Flying Dutchman!
Jack!
So,
what you thinking, Jack?
This Whitebeard sounds a bit of a pussy.
Smart, though.
Bit of a pussy.
He bravely bargained off.
No true sailor abandoned ship.
He wasn't the captain of this ship.
He was a little bitch, is what he was.
What is wrong with you?
Just got cramp in my hamstring.
Oh. Sounds like karma for calling Whitebeard a bitch.
Maybe so, but I'll take it.
It's worth it to inflict pain upon others.
So, although Woonwalker, it sounds so weird saying, like Mork.
Yes.
So WM sank in shallow waters on his next voyage.
Yeah, dead.
But did he die?
Yeah, he sank. And he's not able to breathe underwater.
You don't know that.
No, I do know that.
Might have taken a piece of Aztec gold.
No, I absolutely do know that he didn't. He never found Aztec gold. Whitebeard, however.
Is this a true story of the Flying Dutchman?
Yeah.
Wow. Never knew it was a true ship.
Yeah. Well, you're about to know a lot more.
What I would have done is there are a lot of ships that refuse to take the letter. Now, did those ships that refuse to take the letter get destroyed or sunk, or did anything happen to them?
Ah.
Because it could be a case of...
Once you receive the letter.
It's like the mark.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So the ship goes after the letter.
Uh-huh.
Now, if those other ships still got destroyed, then I don't know what I would have done. But you could have still taken the letter to the place where that got destroyed. Because might be a ghost there that wants the letter. Same way that ghostly figure just seemed to have evaporated off into the mist.
Mm-hmm.
One might appear... in the town, you can hand the letter over. So, I suppose you're in a catch-22. You take the letter, you run the risk. Well, I suppose you wouldn't even know that you're marked. I'd have taken the letter.
So, we are going to cover...
if I was going that way, not going out of my way.
Some more accounts that will make it clearer in your mind. But basically, the thinking is, if you see the ship, you're buggered.
What if you... hear that the ship is on its way, but you don't look at it?
Loophole, baby! You're absolutely fine. Your ship goes down, but you can survive.
Cool.
If you're a good swimmer.
Well, technically, the ship's not looking at it.
Isn't it?
Ain't got eyes.
But that's an interesting debate, isn't it?
So does it destroy the ship once the captain looks at it? Like when the captain looks, it's a sign of war?
As soon as anyone on the ship clocks eyes on it, perhaps.
Now I feel like you're just covering your tracks.
Oh, I'm theorising. I mean, I've written the episode. I know where it's going.
I've written the episode, but I got no fucking clue where this is headed.
Shit, maybe I don't. Maybe the ship spoke through me. Ghost hand.
Used you like a sock puppet.
Moving on.
The flying ventriloquist.
It is believed that this famous ship, the Flying Dutchman, was first formally reported in written form during 1790 in a book called Travels in Various Parts of Europe, Asia and Africa during a series of 30 years and upwards by John MacDonald.
What a title.
Catchy title. The book detailed that the Dutchman tried to get into the port of the Cape of Good Hope on the edge of South Africa, but couldn't achieve it and was lost in the waters. Since then, the ship has continued to appear and disappear in bad weather. It is believed that sightings actually begun around 100 years before this publication, though, such as the Woonwalker sighting detailed earlier, and that Honourable John was reporting on, by this time, well-known oral accounts. So we've got a potential origin.
Did or was the ship refused entry, or did it sink? Like, it was trying to make it there and couldn't get there and just sunk just outside of the port.
So I don't know that... I didn't see accounts of it being refused. I think the idea was it was having a bit of a rough time at sea and it just couldn't quite make it in.
Who was the captain?
Woonwalker.
No, seriously, who was the captain?
Davy Jones.
Okay.
We don't know who the captain was.
So,
yes,
the fact that Whitebeard jumped ship,
yeah,
was he a survivor of one of the other ships that got murked?
Yeah, of Woonwalker's ship.
I mean, what before
that? Someone's got to survive to tell the tale.
I mean, before that, so he saw the single like man rowing up and he was like, fuck, I know what comes next. He just legged it.
Yeah. That's... he was,
I know this boat.
I...
Screw that. I've got a wife and child.
I reckon that letter was meant for you. For you. For Whitebeard.
Firstly, for me.
It's meant for Whitebeard and he keeps dodging it by jumping off.
Pass down to your child and your child must pass it down to their child.
One day there's just going to be a letter turn up at your door. Kind of similar to a scroll.
To Captain Whitebeard.
Who's that? Londoner George Barrington served in Botany Bay, Australia, during the late 1700s. George would later share in 1795 that during this time, two Dutch ships sailed the Cape of Good Hope together when overcome by a storm. Remember that location because it may pop back up again and again. One of these sister ships made it to port, but the other sank in the vicious storm. When the surviving ship later left port to travel back to Europe, she encountered a storm. During the storm, several crew members reported seeing the sunken sister ship through the clouds of the storm. The crew reported that the ship almost bore down upon them, as if it was intending to run them down, surrounded by a thick veil of dark cloud. As the cloud cleared, the ship vanished. They named this ship as the Flying Dutchman. It's not clear if George directly witnessed this or was sharing a potential origin story he'd heard. You may have picked up on a complication with this account, but I guess the key takeaway is that the Flying Dutchman story was spreading worldwide.
And was not originally called the Flying Dutchman.
Indeed.
Okay. So, just before they're in a storm, just before they're about to die, they envision another ship bearing down on them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, someone's got to live for this tale to get out, hasn't they? But then, we've had loads of cases of mass hysteria before. But everyone's panicked on the ship and everyone's
in a
screaming
storm,
it.
And storms on a boat are scary.
Then people that could be down below aren't necessarily seeing anything, but they're hearing the ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
They could be the ones that survive. People ask what happens, and they say it was the Flying Dutchman.
Mm-hmm. And I have popped it in the research notes. The complicating factor here is that the origin story is after the sightings had already been around.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that an origin? In 1803, honourable and trustworthy John Leyden, a strong and beautiful man of the sea, would write that the crew of the Flying Dutchman had committed crimes and the Lord above punished the crew with a terrible, terrible disease. Because of this dirty ass disease, no port would accept the Dutchman, and this left the Dutchman forever sailing the seas. Sir Walter Scott further added in 1813 that, amongst other things, a member of the Dutchman had murdered another member of the crew for their share of the treasure. The legend was spreading. Even before that, folks such as Thomas More had added in poetry in 1804 that the ship would sail with full sails at high speed even when there was no wind. Paranormal powers. We have an origin forming, so I think it's time to get into some sightings.
Jack.
On July the 11th, 1881, the HMS Bacchante was sailing through the Bass Strait, isn't it? Is it Bass or Bass? I think it's Bass Strait.
It is Bass.
Separating Tasmania from Australia. It was about 4 a.m. Aboard this vessel just so happened to be the future King of England, George V, alongside the future King's brother, Prince Albert Victor.
Prince Albert!
A seaman on the top mast amongst the rigging spotted a ship in the distance. The King clapped eyes on this and described what was seen as follows.
A strange red light, as of a phantom ship all aglow, in the midst of which light the masts, spars, and sails of a brig 200 yards distant.
Two ships accompanying the Bacchante also witnessed the Dutchman, the Tourmaline and the Cleopatra. Soon thereafter, however, the ship disappeared. Things calmed for a bit. At 10:45 in the morning, the seamen who first spotted the Flying Dutchman fell from the masts to their death on the forecastle, the front of the upper deck. Splat, respectfully. The historical account does literally detail this poor crewmate as smashed to atoms. Sounds pretty grim.
I mean, he fell from quite a way.
Mm-hmm.
And
witnessed by the future king.
What are the...
So that's a pretty...
I mean, it's not as if he fell on wood. It's probably going to be brass, iron,
all sorts of shit. Yeah.
Your skull hitting that at velocity is going to break.
Again,
and I'm about to break.
You see the Dutchman, bad shit happens. It's an omen.
With any historical account.
Yes. Bloody hell, Moxley. Calm yourself.
As of a phantom ship glow. Whenever there was anything that couldn't be explained, like in the past, everything seems to be ghostly and paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be the fact that they were seeing a ship from a distance. The red light, or the light that they're seeing from a distance, could just be a light of someone going up to the crow's nest.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything they describe as ghastly or...
Yeah.
ghostly apparition or something, but could just be described someone just going for a stroll.
Mm-hmm. It could, but
with
then
a lantern.
The boat itself disappears.
Does it disappear, or was it even there in the first place?
How so?
The same way that during... Was this during the day or during the night?
During... This one was the morning.
So the same way that... not sometimes when you just wake up, but if you're in a dark room, you can look at a chair with a coat on and it can look totally different to what it actually is.
At 10:45 in the morning?
You didn't say it was 10:45 in the morning.
I did.
You didn't?
I didn't write then, but I did when we were going through it. The chap fell off the mast at 10:45. It was about 4 a.m. when it started.
Maybe it was further away than what they suspected. How long have they been at sea? How much rum have they had?
Oh, that's a good question. They'd have been at sea usually days to weeks.
Could they have been hallucinating?
I don't know about hallucinating, but they certainly could have been either drunk or very hungover, I guess. Because there ain't much else to do when you're on a boat for several weeks.
Could they have been short of food, ate something not great, saw things that weren't there, had some wild mushrooms that were picked beforehand that weren't the same mushrooms they should have had.
Someone brought some bad mushrooms on board.
And they had a bad trip.
Just remember, this is a boat with a future king on it.
So
it's a pretty well-to-do vessel.
Still could have picked the wrong mushrooms. Maybe he likes to dabble. Just took a bit too much.
Probably wouldn't be the worst thing that Royal has ever dabbled in.
No. You could peg that to the mast.
During 1939, on False Bay in Cape Town, a group of people on Glencairn Beach, which by the way is on the southern coast of South Africa, reported seeing an almost ghost-like ship heading towards the land. This sighting was repeated in 1941, witnessed by crowds of people. The ship sailed aggressively straight toward land before suddenly disappearing. Again, lots of witnesses. To be clear, the Dutchman isn't like in the Pirates of the Caribbean. The crew don't attack other vessels. In fact, the crew are most likely looking for a way home or a way to contact land, because at times the crew have been known to pass letters to those aboard other ships, letters intended for their loved ones back home, just as we detailed in the first account of this episode. Don't listen to Hollywood, folks, but the Dutchman does have a tendency to appear just before tragedy at sea, and we don't know why that is.
I was going to ask a question about ghost ships.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand if a person was to die and a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
How does an inanimate object become a ghost?
The actual boat itself. Mm. Maybe it's tethered to the people that die on the boat. I mean, the ghost of the Titanic was in Ghostbusters.
But then, I was going to say, because there have been reports, or I've heard stories in my lifetime, of a ghost truck,
mm-hmm.
or a phantom truck that yep. has been seen.
Mm-hmm.
What if these aren't phantoms, but points in the world where the fabric between dimensions is weak? So we're not seeing a ghost, we're seeing a real object from another dimension.
Hmm.
Just we can't see it.
Reality is crossing over.
Visually as we would, because our eyes aren't accustomed to that dimension.
So if something travels into our dimension...
So they could be tripping out thinking that they're...
Where the hell are they?
Yeah.
But... can that cross over into physically touching? Because I'm wondering if you could be walking across the road and then you're hit by a car in a different dimension. You're like,
no,
ah!
I don't think so.
How was that?
No.
Remember we covered about how ants only perceive the 2D.
Mm-hmm.
I could flick an ant and they'd feel that.
Mean bastard. No, possibly.
Imagine you're just walking down the street and then suddenly some giant finger flicks you. Yeah! What the hell is that?
We've crossed over into Kev World. Where you're really from. So you can touch other objects. You fell from another dimension. You giant.
Says you. I'm looking up to you now.
So you should.
Granville the Tall.
I walk on moons.
We've heard a few mixed up origin stories, but now it's time to discover who the captain of the Flying Dutchman really was. Where the ship came from and how the ship met its fate. It's said that the Flying Dutchman was one of a fleet belonging to the Dutch East India Company, also known as the United East India Company, who were established on the 20th of March, 1602, predominantly to explore spice trade in Asia. The captain was one Hendrik van der Decken, a successful captain with years of experience. The captain was sailing around the Cape of Good Hope. Hendrik was in this area because he was considering making a settlement or colony nearby to take shelter during rough waters, such as the waters Hendrik was experiencing at this very time. The storm was violent, oh so violent, vicious. So vicious, in fact, that Dutchman was at risk of capsizing. The captain would not be deterred, however, despite the pleas of their crew. The captain swore that the crew would succeed, even if they had to sail until Judgment Day. The problem when you swear, folks, is that you never know who is listening. On this occasion, it just so happened that somebody was listening who you'd really rather they weren't. That someone was the devil. The Dutchman tried and tried to enter the Cape, but sadly, the storm was too great and the boat succumbed. The devil watched on with glee and took the captain at his oath, making it so. The devil condemned the Flying Dutchman to sail after life until Judgment Day, which is essentially forever. The devil always leaves a little light at the end of the tunnel, and for this curse of sorts, the devil made it so that every 7 years, Hendrik was allowed to board land to search for his true love, and if Hendrik could be loved by a faithful woman, the curse would be lifted.
Okay. There could be a loophole here.
Mm-hmm.
He is allowed to walk on Earth to search for his beloved. I mean, we're seeing where a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean got their storyline from.
Yeah. He's allowed to board land every 7 years.
How long for?
So I couldn't really see that clarified.
When he boards land, is he him in terms of he human?
Yes.
So he literally turns up. Say, for example, I was a ghost for 500 years. Every 7 years I could turn on land and I just walked on like I am today.
Yeah, for like a day, for example.
Only for a day?
Yeah.
So we know how long he was allowed to stay on land for.
Well, I'm not saying it definitely was a day. I'm just saying as an example.
Okay.
It could have been several hours. It's not really clear.
So
there are so many different takes on this one.
If it was if it was every 7 years for a year, he didn't necessarily have to find the love of his life that he had when he died. He could find a new one.
So he's got to be loved by a faithful woman.
Yes.
That's the key bit.
That is the key bit. So all he would have to do is meet someone, make them fall in love with him. But it depends on how much time he's got. You've got an hour to do that.
Well, even if he achieves that, then he goes back out to sea. Is she going to wait 7 years? Like, how long does she have to be faithful for? Before the curse is lifted.
I thought the curse was lifted as soon as he's loved by her.
But not how do you know she's going to be faithful, though?
Not the fact that he has to go back. So yeah, but she could be faithful for a day.
Is that all it is? Does she have to be, or is it at any point if she becomes unfaithful?
Then it's
and
gone.
The devil knows that's going to happen, so the curse isn't lifted.
So at that point, I mean, playing devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
You would have no idea whether or not this is true and if it works. If you were loved by a faithful woman and she died being faithful to you, is the curse lifted?
Maybe that's what it is, yeah.
Because depending on how long he was on land for.
I see where you're going.
I mean, there are loopholes here.
Yeah, if he...
And the devil loves a loophole.
Makes a lady love him and then offs her, if he whacks her.
Then the entire time she was alive, she was faithful to him.
Yeah, yeah.
The devil's taking notes. And he's just like, right him... now, listening to us. Like, you motherfuckers.
I'll take account of that in my next deal.
Because that, presumably, that also gets him out of hell and back in God's grace through murder. That's like the absolutely top-level loophole.
So, yeah, we need to know how long he can be on land for.
Wow. Love at first sight.
Should be faithful to him forever. Let's get married right now.
You're coming on a bit strong there. Come on. All right. I'm not sure about this, Hendrik.
Job's done. I'm alive.
The devil's like, she didn't love you. How do you know? She did.
Found out she cheated with his second mate literally before
she was
got
literally
married.
Giving a hand job to his second mate under the table as they
while
met.
Saying it.
No.
I love you.
That origin of the Flying Dutchman was actually printed in Blackwood's Edinburgh magazine during 1821, for the most part. Sightings continued until the modern era. Nazi Admiral Karl Dönitz, who eventually succeeded Hitler for about a month in 1945, was in command of the German submarine U-boats travelling through the east of Suez in 1942, when the Flying Dutchman made an appearance. The Admiral recorded that several vessel crew members saw the Dutchman, numerous witnesses. This, however, was the last truly credible sighting I could find.
How did they know it was the Dutchman?
When you see it, you just know. I mean, a ship appears and disappears. There's not too many ships that are known to do that. I mean, I suppose, for argument's sake, there could be 600 different ghost ships doing this, but what difference does it make? It's still a ghost ship. And the Flying Dutchman is the known one.
Imagine you are one of these other ghost ships. You're going around being a ghost ship, doing your ghost shiply duties.
Trying to get recognised.
Being notorious. And everything you do just goes back to the Dutchman. Dutchman's just sitting on his ass, hasn't been out of port, like ghost port, for about 700 years. It's getting all the rep.
God damn it. If not ghost ship, how else can the Dutchman be explained? Well, some would have you believe that the ship never existed at all, but is a warning not to be arrogant or reckless at sea. Spread in a more impactful form, because nobody listens if you just say be careful. Pretty much all the sightings have been during choppy, stormy seas. A mirage, also known as a Fata Morgana, could be responsible.
That's a great name, Morgana.
These optical phenomena are formed when moisture combines with the light to displace objects in the distance, creating a refraction in the light which leads to reflections in the distance. This can result in a ship beyond our usual limits of sight reflecting on the water, appearing to float in the sky closer by.
I have seen... So Greybeard is showing me a picture here of...
Just a scientific diagram of how it works, basically.
Pretty much what he just said. I've seen, not studies, I've seen videos where they show this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've covered it in a case or so where there's been a wave.
So I saw this myself for the first time last year. I think I said on our previous episode when we were talking about it. I visited Oldborough.
We mentioned it was one of the Pastor Bill. It might have been that one where we spoke about it being at a certain height, but it's showing another one, like 30-degree angle or something like that. But yeah, sorry to interrupt you. You saw it in Oldborough?
Yeah, I just saw a ship flying in the sky. It's mad. Crazy. Either that or I saw the Flying Dutchman.
Creepy, saw the Flying Dutchman.
The legend of the Dutchman may have grown from real-life 1600s captain from the Dutch East India Company, Bernard Fock, who would make the journey between the Netherlands and Java via the Cape of Good Hope so quickly in 1678 that people speculated that the Fokker had made a deal with the devil. There was also a real-life Captain Hendrik van der Decken, who disappeared at sea during 1641 on duty for the Dutch East India Company. A little bit of fact, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of natural phenomena, all spliced together. What the fuck, hey?
And Greybeard has put in an alleged sighting of the Flying Dutchman. It really... just looks like a oil tanker where the big funnel is in the wrong part of the boat and it's all the way at the back and nowhere else. Like, if you told a kid that the funnel was a turbo and told them to make a boat, that's where they'd stick it. The rest is just a plank. So, yeah, literally looks like the boat is... flying upside down.
Yeah, and especially in choppy waters where you can't necessarily see the bottom part of the mirage, you can only see the top.
Yeah, with obviously your boat's going to be going up and down the whole time.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to get a steady viewpoint.
Absolutely. So, we are there. We've arrived. In summary, we've covered legendary mystery ghost ship, the Flying Dutchman. The Dutchman first appeared in written form in John Macdonald's 1790 book, but oral legend is believed to have begun a good 100 years earlier. There have been many sightings down the years, though these have slowed in recent times, ranging from George Barrington's 1795 origin account of sister ships with one lost in a storm, and in 1803, Honourable John Leyden shared his own origin account of the crew of the Dutchman being afflicted with disease due to their crimes and therefore being refused port, forcing them to sail the sea forever. We heard how this legend was gradually added to with a supernatural element. We then covered sightings including future King George V's 1881 sighting, which led to the death of the member of crew who spotted the Dutchman. We mentioned the 1939 and 1941 Cape Town group sightings. We covered the true origin of the Flying Dutchman as a ship from the Dutch East India Company's fleet captained by Hendrik van der Decken, who swore that the crew would make port even if they had to sail until Judgment Day. Problem was, the devil was listening and made it so. The last sighting we covered was during the Second World War in 1942. We covered other explanations, including mirages and tales to encourage seafaring folks to sail safely. We also heard of real Dutch East Indian Captain Bernard Fock, who made some very swift journeys, and Captain Hendrik van der Decken, who disappeared at sea during 1641. Was this the Devil's Curse? I didn't mention this, but there's even a musical called Der Vliegende Hollandermaid about the Flying Dutchman, although that name is given to the captain rather than the boat. Is there anything you want to double back over, Mr. Moonwalker, before we conclude for the probers?
For once there is.
Yes?
We spoke about how death followed the Flying Dutchman.
Yes.
And catastrophe or
So they
something
say
something happened
yes.
every time it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
What if that's simply because everyone panicked? And when people panic, they don't think straight.
Yeah, even one further than that, people panic combined with choppy water / bad weather. Put those two ingredients together.
And boom.
At sea. Bloop, 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 bloop. Bad things happening at sea.
That's
so,
all I wanted to add.
On that note, are you saying that it was spookies?
Yes!
Boaties.
Kind of, yes. Kind. Not that that anything was caused by, like, a phantom ship or anything like that. But the fact that it was caused by seeing things that weren't there, or a spooky scenario. Oh, there's a ship there, or that ship's floating in the air. That's something spooky to see. If you were just walking out late at night and you just saw, I don't know, a car flying through the air, you would freak the fuck out. But then 50 years down the road, they might go, oh, the reason you see that is because of the light reflecting off this and reflecting off that. Therefore, it's not spookies. At this time, that's spooky.
All right.
So
you're saying it's spooky, but not ghosties.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this case was actually...
Friendly for one then, isn't it?
Well, you're still not saying it's paranormal, technically.
Spookies!
But this one was actually a lot shorter than I expected. I thought going in there's going to be absolutely hundreds of sightings, but there's basically a handful, along with a bunch of old poems and three or four different origin stories that kind of all get mangled together.
Disappointed you didn't read me a poem.
Yeah, it's a bit long. I think the mirage and the legend to warn people not to be reckless are pretty much what's going on here, so I'm not saying that it's spooky boaties or spooky booties myself, and I think that we don't see the Dutchman so much today because technology and scientific understanding has advanced and we now better understand optical illusions.
We also don't sail. Who's to say that we wouldn't see the Dutchman?
You might not, but I do because I'm a captain. But it's still, shipping is the biggest commerce, isn't it? Other than e-commerce, I guess. But even that involves shipping. It's how stuff gets around the country, the world. Between countries, that's what I was going for. I'd argue there are more people on the oceans now than there ever have been.
Doesn't mean that we might not see it.
Doesn't mean shit. You're not a captain. Any final thoughts, Mr. Moonwalker?
Maybe they're not seeing it because they're not in the middle of the sea.
Maybe they're not at that point that I've determined.
Exactly. No, nothing else to add.
Well, that is a wrap for today. Thanks for listening to...
But it was alien!
Let us know what you thought about today's episode, or if you've ever seen a ghost ship yourself. You can hit us up... on the Twitter, the X Twitter, at But It Was Aliens, but please don't hit us. Well, me. Or we have a publicly private Facebook group linked to the But It Was Aliens fan page called
Extraterrestrial Terrors,
where we read everything and write everything. If what we do isn't enough for you and you simply must know the truth, all the truth, then we
and
may
everything but
have
the truth.
Something a little more up your back alley. Over at a place called patreon.com/ But It Was Aliens, you can sign up for less than £5. I think it's less than £3. It's cheaper than a cup of coffee. And with that, you can become a side prober, a patron of the show. In exchange for supporting us to continue to make the show and grow, you'll gain access to our bonus episodes, side probes into paranormal events the world over, sometimes too spicy for the general public to hear. But you're not the general public, are you? You're special, and we know it. That's it for this episode, so until next time, are jellyfish wet ghosts? The truth is up there.
Or down there.
Tag.
Probe!
Whoa!